In this world, everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to be content. Everybody wants to have peace, good life. Very few people find it. How come they don't find? Because they're looking in the wrong places. The false cannot give you contentment, maybe in the moment, then it's gone. Any pleasure, any wish, any desire, any dream, it comes and then it's gone. So people are very restless, very lost. And more than ever, because now they say this is the top of civilization, human civilization. We have everything. We can have very, very lazy lives. You have place to sleep, you have food, all these things that has been the most important for 10,000 of years. And still people are not happy. Still they are not content. And nobody is questioning why. No, they think buy a better car, get another wife, get a different job, get a different boyfriend, something outside. So when I look here, people look very content, very peaceful. What a magic mystery. How come that is possible? What happened to these people here sitting in front of me? They start coming back into the simple things, into themselves, returning to their hearts, to their own innocence, to their own clarity, to their own wisdom. That gives a contentment. And when you have your own heart, then you are not a beggar anymore. Then your attachment to the desires, to the world, they lose its grips already, because you have found something that is very precious. Just relaxing into yourself in this moment, and everything becomes peaceful. Such a simple thing, and still so difficult, and still everybody is missing it, because everybody is trained to do, to run, to become something, instead of be what they are, is always in the future. But life is here now. You are here now. So it means you can only find that here now, not in the future. Such a paradox, running for something, trying to find something in the future that is already here. So this is the whole mission of the mystics, to try to stop people to come back into that which is, that you have forgotten. Where do you see people sitting silently, peacefully, with a smile on their face in this world? Never. In fact, people are afraid to close the eyes. They are afraid to relax. If you go to a waiting room, they cannot just sit and enjoy. Every opportunity I have is sitting and waiting in the dentist. And it's such a pleasant thing to wait for the dentist, your turn. You just sit and enjoy. But everybody restless. Have to look at the magazine. Read the paper the fourth time. Looking at the cell phone. Do something. Because if you close your eyes, you look strange. In the world, in the eyes of the people of the world, you look strange. What is wrong? Are you sick? Are you a little hoo-hoo? That person sit there with closed eyes. Something is wrong. So that's why you have to do something. Yeah, I'm here. And it's very strange because you have to show that you are here, awake. But you are just a robot. And when you go in, then you are really there, present in the moment. That's why it's so important to go in. So you again get established inside. Now you have been lost outside, confused, forgetting your own center. That's the whole mission of meditation, of going in. That's why you see the Buddha statues, they have closed eyes, because you have to come back in. No, when you get established inside, then it doesn't matter. You can have open eyes, you can have closed eyes. It follows you wherever you are. But in the beginning, very difficult, because again and again, your old habit, you get attracted to the outside. You get lost. You forget yourself. You forget your inner peace, your inner clarity. It's not strong enough, and then you start doubting yourself. Oh, this was just a good memory. Then I had such a good insight. That means already it's gone. Again, you got lost. You've forgotten that it's there all the time. And that is your only responsibility, to be in touch with that. And that's why the Zen people say that it's like a razor's edge, like a knife edge. That's how difficult it is to balance. Because you are used to being all over the place. Unconscious, falling into that, it's lost in the bushes there, gets scrubbed by the thorns there. Oh, how did I find myself here? Oh, this did hurt. Oh, now I'm dirty. How did this happen? It happened because you are dumb. You are unconscious. That is very tough to see. So slowly, slowly, more awareness, the more you stick to the path, till you are so conscious that you can just walk straight. Nothing touches you because you have the real. If you don't have any taste of the real, then all the time you will be tempted by the outside. Maybe I find it there, maybe I find it there. So a sign of finding back to yourself is contentment, is peace, is gratitude. Welcome to Sat. Bauli, you're such a nice hat, such a nice fine lady I have in satsang today. Huh? Such a summer lady. Huh?
shape and be like Japanese.
Yes, yes.
Then I see only feet.
Yeah, that is good if you like you want to be meditative.
Yes.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, that's how the monks had. Yeah, the monks in Japan, they have these hats just for that reason. They just look there. Hmm? But if you're really a good monk, a good sannyasin, a good meditator, then you don't need it because you are just take no notice. You just look, like Buddha said, 1 meter ahead of front of you. But very few people are good meditators. So they have to make these hats. Hmm? The master, the Japanese Zen master, he came up with that. They have to have hats, these disciples, because all the time they're looking. Hmm? Then how can we get them to look in, to stay touched? Then they came up, we have to have a big stick. Boing! Get them back. And then when we send them to the market to buy rice, then we have to put a hat on them. Maybe some nice women, they get lost, they're looking. That means they haven't found that, no? When you have found it, then who cares? Hat or no hat? You can put on your hat, Bauli, no problem. We are free sannyasins, all kinds of hats. You have been here the whole winter, no? Huh? You have been here the whole winter?
No, here.
Not here, this day, here. Here in Dharma Valley?
Yeah.
So it must be very nice now, no? The summer comes. Hmm? Baba comes, everything comes. The snow is melting. Snow is melting. Beloved Master, every time I sit to write to you, nothing comes out of this. I'm so poor and limited with the words. This laughing Buddha in the forest has made me laugh a lot today. Bauli is learning such a new language. Love you, Bauli. Yes, you don't need to say anything, just laugh. Laugh and be silent, that is the best. Be quiet is the best of the best. Then second is laughing. If you have those two, then you are pretty safe. Whenever you can be silent, enjoy inner silence. And when you get lost outside seeing all the stupidity, laugh of yourself and everybody. That is the new language. It's a forgotten language. When I first came to Osho, I remember he talked about the forgotten language. The forgotten language that we have forgotten. That is the same thing that I'm trying to teach you. The forgotten language. We have forgotten this language of ecstasy, no? Where do you learn that kind of language, no? That you cannot put into words. Where do you learn that? No university, no school, no country. Where do you learn that? That forgotten language. That deep in your soul, you know, you remember something, but you cannot speak it. But it's there, just on the tip of your tongue. Beloved Swaha, in satsang yesterday, I saw yet another silly mask I've been wearing. I found myself crying when you talked about the rat race of this world. But I didn't really mean it. Once you said, we can cry or we can laugh. And then I snapped out of it, asking myself what the heck I was doing. This crying was just a program, something I've turned to in order to seem proper, to seem sympathetic, caring. And this intensity that I've been so addicted to just squeeze out a few more tears, as if ecstasy was not there, something else could be there. Just nothing didn't seem right. This comes sometimes, a state of just being empty, in the real empty way. Absence of any kind of sensation and any kind of reference. Just being here and watching as nothing. But then I can think it is numbness, that I'm not connected because I'm not in bliss, in ecstasy. I really don't know. But I saw this happening a few times in satsang, followed by mine questioning it, wondering if I'm just frozen. Is it so that silence sometimes comes without this sweet bliss? Or is it just that I am only lukewarm? I am so thankful to be here with you, in nature, with friends. Much more than I can say. At your feet, sadhana. In satsang yesterday, I saw yet another silly mask I've been wearing. I found myself crying when you talked about the rat race of this world, but I didn't really mean it. It's good that you see your silly masks. And that's why you are silly, because you're wearing silly masks. When you don't wear silly mask, then you are not silly anymore. This is the work of the master, to remove your masks. And sometimes you can get so upset, so even angry with the master when he's trying to remove your mask, your falsity. Because it hurts. You don't know who you are. So that's why you are clinging to the false. But you have to see what is false and drop it to find the real. The real has no chance of coming if you are identified in the false. It's impossible. So that's the whole game here. Slowly, slowly removing the mask. Like the Sufi says, it's 1,000 veils between you and reality. So many curtains you have to remove. So many masks. So many habits. So it's very good that you see this. But that's what takes courage, because to stave the old, you already have a mask. You don't know who you are, and you have used to putting on a mask from the society. So you have made up a mask. That is so-called your personality, your idea of who you are. Hmm? Then you have built this up through your life. And then, of course, you're wearing that mask all the time. Then people start seeing you as that mask. Then they start relating to you as this first persona that you have made yourself into. So though, when people start looking at you also at that somebody that you have created, then you think even more that I'm so-and-so. Mr. Johansson. Mrs. Olson. Then you have an image. And this is my children, and this is my parents, and so on and so forth. And this is what I believe in. But you don't know. So that's how majority of human beings live. And then when you come here, you come to a place of truth. That is what satsang is. It's a place of truth. It's a meeting yourself, being yourself, coming back to yourself. The master is a mirror. The master is only reflecting that, trying to put you back into the truth. That means you have to remove what is false. You can call it your mask, your idea, your habits, your identification. All that has to go. So, if this is understood, which is almost impossible that this is understood in the beginning, it takes time. And as soon as you get the knack of it, then one mask, two masks, three masks, who cares? The first is the worst. The first cut is the deepest. Then you get used to it. You don't take yourself serious. But of course then, because you identified, and this is who I am, which is just a false idea because you don't know, then you can get angry, unconsciously angry, even towards the master who is trying to help you to become free. This is the dilemma. That's why they crucify those people, because they are not understood. They're just there to help you, but you get angry. Because it's very frustrating. I'm so-and-so, but I don't know. But at least I have a mask. If I take that mask on, then who? And that's exactly where I want you to go. Who are you? Who am I? Hmm? Who am I beyond the mask? So first you deceive yourself, then you deceive people around you, then they starting helping you to deceive you. It's a madhouse. But this is the reality, which is hidden, but nobody knows it. So everybody going on playing, yeah, I know everything, nice day today, hello. With their mask. That's why if you don't functioning in a social way, then you are strange at once. Just try it when you go, somebody is taking shake, and you don't shake the hand. Just see what happens. They are totally in the gap. Many times I did this when I was playing with people. Little things, just to see how they respond. They're saying something and they are 100% sure that you will respond in one way. It's a nice day today. Yeah, sure, it's a nice day today. Then you say something else. It's a nice day today. I have to go to the toilet. Then you see, hello, what happened? Who is this guy? Use little shocks, they can take only that much, then they are off center. It's amazing. And for a mystic, he can play with the whole world like that. But it's much better to be in the forest. So that's how it is. So it's very good that you saw another silly mask that you've been wearing. Once you say, we can cry or we can laugh, I snapped out of it, asking myself what the heck I was doing. The crying was just a program, something I turned to in order to seem proper, sympathetic, caring. Exactly. Everybody is on automatic, and you can only see that when you start getting out of that hypnosis. And when you are out of it, then you can see every single game that goes on. But first you have to heal yourself. First you have to get out of it. It's easy to see the games of somebody else. It's very difficult to see your own. Just like Jesus said, you can see this small dust particle in the eye of your friend, but you don't see the log in your own. It's like that. So that's why first you have to focus on yourself. Heal thyself. Then you will see clearly. Get rid of your own mask, then nobody can fool you. And this intensity that I have been so addicted to, just squeeze out a few more tears. Yes. Why be such a drama queen? Relax. It must be so tiring. Squeeze out a few more tears. Let the tears, poor tears, let them come when they come. When they come naturally, they're so beautiful. But squeeze tears. You are not the orange. You don't need to do anything, but you don't trust that. You think you have to do. You have to do everything. You have to perform. You have the certain idea what is right, what is wrong. And that creates tension. If you can just relax, let whatever happen, you don't need to prove anything. Then such a burden is leaving your shoulders. Intensity I've been so addicted to. That's what I'm trying to heal you from, this addiction. Why this intensity? When you are rushing in the intensity, then you have no time to smell the little flowers then. You have no time to see the sunset. You have no time to feel yourself, because it's so intense. Rushing, performing, doing. So drop the mask and slow down, come back. As if ecstasy was not there, something else should be there. Just nothing didn't seem right. Yeah, just nothing didn't seem right because it has to be so intense. And you have spiritual ideas. First you have ideas of who you are. Mrs. Johansson and Mr. Olsson. And then afterwards you have other spiritual idea beyond Ananda. When he meditates, he has to see stars and moons and explosions, bliss and ecstasy. More ideas, even more dangerous, because now you start getting holy, holier than thou. All that those masks, those ideas, also the master has to take away. So they have been talking about ecstasies and bliss and all these things, because the persons who talked about it, that's how they realized God. It was like ecstasy, it was like bliss. It was too much to contain. Then you have others, they talk about silence. That's how they experience God, self-realization. Then someone was just getting so much energy that they just had to dance. A mirror. Then the Ramana, he just sat there, could hardly say anything. Totally opposite. A Ramakrishna went totally into ecstasy, like he was intoxicated. People had to hold him. His own disciples had to hold him. He got so ecstatic. A Rumi just whirling. 48 hours whirling like a madman. Don't have ideas. This was personal experiences. But this is the danger. And then comes the disciples. We have to whirl and whirl and whirl and whirl and whirl. We have to sing and sing and sing and sing. We have to sit in silence, 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 silence. We have to say Om Mani Padme Hum, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna. We are Krishna freaks. So this is where you're coming from, my dear sadhana, which I have to destroy. And if you don't understand it, if you don't have a trust in me and in the path, then you will get annoyed. But all ideas has to go. And in my experience, God comes in millions of ways. Sometimes as bliss, sometimes as silence, sometimes as laughter, sometimes as crying. Don't get stuck on one idea. Buddha only talked about nothingness, sunyata. Nirvana, nothing, everything is gone. Nirvana means you blow out the candle. It's not, nothing is there. That was ecstasy for Buddha. An emptiness of the heart, fullness. He never talked about God. Some people only talk about God. Some people only talk about love. Some people only talk about truth. Some people only talk about consciousness. Some people only talk about non-duality. But this is from different people. You have to see what is your trip, what is your truth. And you cannot listen to anybody. In the end, when you realize it, I was going to say, then you love. Yeah, you love, but first. And I realized I was just silent because I was totally numbed of the vastness. I cannot say there were any ecstasy. It was like a vacuum, but you were totally aware of everything. You have to start functioning in that new awareness when nothing was happening. Then slowly, slowly, you become human again. Otherwise, you will just sit there. Like Ramana. I was thinking, let's have a little more fun. I hope you don't mind. Now everybody has their own path. This comes sometimes a state of just being empty, in the real empty way. Absence of any kind of sensation and any kind of reference. Just being here and watching as nothing. But then I can think it is numbness, that I'm not connected because I'm not in bliss, in ecstasy. I really don't know. This numbness is natural because it's totally new. You don't know. When you say you'd be so intense and so many masks and you're behaving so restlessly on a automatic, then when silence will start happening, then it can feel as a numbness. You don't know what to do. You have your ideas, the mind is there telling you something should be there. It should be ecstasy now. And beautiful, silent numbness. It feels like numbness because it's just different. It's different from that frantic. And many people easily can reject it. But it's just the beginning. No, you have to find who you are in that numbness. Then it is not numbness, it's just quietness, which is totally new for you. That's why you don't understand it. What could be more spiritual than silence, stillness, emptiness? Even the scientist says that before the Big Bang, who knows, what was there? Just silence. In all the scriptures they say, before the world there was silence. Coming back to silence, emptiness. That is God. But of course, first, it's so unknown to you that it feels like numbness. Because you are so used to doing, thinking, feeling, mind-fucking, that when suddenly peace comes, it feels just like you're getting numb. You're getting dumb. But it's not. Don't reject it. Get more into it. Get used to it. In fact, all action should come from no action. All doing should come from no doing, from peace. Then everything will be beautiful. But you miss it because you're not used to it. You are used to just doing. So then when it starts happening, you feel totally helpless, you feel numb. And before you know it, you're out of it again. That's where you need surrender, trust. Listening to the master, just get more numb, get more silence, get used to it, relax. Have patience. And then you will see a different energy is coming, which is totally wisdom itself, clarity itself, life itself, out of this silence. And then whatever you do will have a totally different quality because it won't be mechanical. It will be conscious. You don't do it as a robot. When you feel like eating, you eat. It's not like, no, it's 5 o'clock, I have to eat. When you feel like going for a walk, you go for a walk. And it's blissful because you are in it. It's not like, oh, I have to exercise. It's 1 o'clock, I have to stand on my head. Anyway, who the fuck wants to stand on his head? Do what is natural. Everything will be natural in your life. It will be no doing, but you will do what is good for you. But that can never happen if you don't allow it. So that's the situation, sadhana. It's not that it's numbness, it's just that it's new. And you say, I really don't know, but I saw this happening a few times in satsang, followed by my mind questioning it, wondering if I'm just frozen. Is it so that silence sometimes comes without this sweet bliss? Or is it just that I am only lukewarm? This is neither or. In one way, you are just lukewarm because I'm heating you up. So it's the beginning. But just stay there on the fire, then soon you will be very hot. Then you will boil over. And when you boil over, you will evaporate. When you evaporate, you will laugh. Then you will see that I was not that physical. Just sit on the fire. So it's not like you lukewarm, it's just that it's new. You don't know. And that's what you say, I really don't know. And is it so that silence sometimes comes without this sweet bliss? Absolutely. Bliss is silence. Sometimes you see clearly, sometimes I go very much into, you can see very clearly I'm totally blissed out. I had too much to drink. And in the beginning, sometimes I couldn't even walk. Even people here, where's Mangala and Rishi? Those two, they had to carry me sometimes. Many people here, in the beginning, when I was started giving satsang, they had to carry me. You remember, you carry me to your car after satsang. I was totally gone. How come he goes, so I hadn't had a single drink? I'm not the... Because it's too strong. You have to get used to it. It will blow all your fuses. It can burn you up. That's how strong it is. 100% is nothing. 100, how can, normally is 40% good cognac. Just think if it's 10,000%. How that will feel. It will flush everything out, and only that is left, that's for sure. But like everything else, the system, physical body, slowly get used to it. And sometimes I'm so in the silence that it's very difficult for me to talk. That's why this I almost have to have, and it's more and more difficult because I have less and less to say. So that's why I have to have some questions. Then it goes from there. Otherwise, I am many times, what should I do? I'm going down to satsang. I have nothing to say. What is happening now? Then, okay. Then I can tell you everything. You can talk about everything. Because I can feel you and it can be helpful for you. So this silence or this bliss, it comes in all kinds of flavors and colors. And don't think that you're just lukewarm, it's just that this is new. You just have to be total. Be more total, be more committed to the path. That is what sadhana is. Be committed to the path. Stay focused. Surrender. Trust. Don't be wishy-washy. Then again lost. You have to be dedicated. I'm so thankful to be here with you in nature with friends, much more than I can say. At your feet, sadhana. This is the whole thing, sadhana. All the mask has to go to find your original face. The Zen people, they have this saying, one of the koans, like the sound of one hand clapping. Find the face you had before you were born. That's what they mean. Find that face you had before you were born. Did you have any mask then? What face did you have before you were born? Meditate on that. Silence is very difficult to come by and is very easy to miss. Because we are so used to being entertained, not only from the outside, more so with your own mind, that when suddenly emptiness, silence comes, you can get into a shock. But in reality, everything is silent. And in that silence, all the birds sing, and the wind comes through the trees, and the cars go on the road, and you eat and you sleep. Everything happens in that silence. Every night I go to sleep with the Buddha. Every morning I wake up with the Buddha, like that. Because we are inseparable. That is what I call a good marriage. If you love something, then you stick to it. That is the true sadhana, that is the true service, that is the true worship. Guru Nanak says, everybody says God, God, but God is not found just by saying God, God. God is only found within by the kindness of the Master. Very, very few taste this success. Only those who fall in love with the inner God. And then God never leaves them, even for an instant. Totally committed, totally absorbed, they are always filled with joy, with bliss, with peace. Those who doubt but pretend to know, their innermost thirst never gets quenched. And when it's time to leave this world, they leave very bitter. They make great efforts to be free, but the ego never leaves them. Then that teaches a hard lesson to those who are attached. Only the sincere students and disciples succeed in finding God, and only by doing what the Master tells them. That is my story. Only then they become successful. Guru Nanak gave up his ego, and God himself came to meet him. Where is Juno? Any more good dreams? You have to write them down. You must be very happy now. Feeling of? That is good. Some things are very good when they become stuck. Huh? That's the thing. When things are good, they can be stuck, no? Most people they are stuck on many bad things, no? It's like that. You have to change with good things. Beloved Babaji, I had this crazy, beautiful dream last night that I just have to share with you. It was such a beautiful old building, but the room was renovated, and there was a type of Sangha there. I knew my Master was close. I could feel his energy. So I asked if I could ask him a very important question. I was told I could see him. I was so happy. We had to go down one floor, and there the room was all beautiful and mystical, with a lot of curtains, big cushions, pillows and drapes. I was taken to my Master, and it was you. I knelt before you at your feet. But you just smiled, dragged me up so I could rest on your chest. You held me as one would hold a child, comforting and safe, almost cheek to cheek. That is how you get people to relax. That is what Rumi has a poem. If you are restless, if you are worried, come here, rest on my knee. Like that. That's all what is needed. I rested there and my mind became so silent there was just being. My questions disappeared, and I had nothing to ask. My heart was so content, so peaceful, and so blissful. Suddenly, I saw you had a long beard, just like Osho's. I thought that it was so strange, so I looked up to see if this was really Osho or you. And I smiled as the beard got stuck in between my front teeth and I couldn't get loose. I wouldn't be surprised because Osho beard was very long. It could end up anywhere. I was so shocked and I froze, totally paralyzed, thinking, shit, no, I have really done it. You see, when you are with the master, you cannot freak out, just stay relaxed. But then we burst into laughter and laughed and laughed and laughed so much that my whole body was aching with laughter. And this beard must have loosened by itself. And I saw that it was really you, just laughing. And then you offered me a cup of tea. And we drank tea in silence. You see? First ecstasy, then silence. And sometimes I have to come in your dream, because then is less of you there, your personality. You're more open, free. Then you really have to take it in, that it is like it is. In real, you cannot really believe it. It's almost too much. But that's true. You offer me a cup of tea and we drank tea in silence, just so happy, content and giggling in peace, so right, so familiar. That's what the master wants to bring you. Because it's so familiar, because it's your own being. Whenever you come back, it just feels so familiar. And you are wondering, where have I been? Why didn't I come to this tea party before? It's so cozy. When I woke up laughing. And I thought this was a crazy dream, not understanding it at all. Ha ha ha. But I felt something and it was so good, so strong. You cannot understand because this goes beyond the mind. That's why it's easier sometimes in the dream. Because then it's not so much you. It goes more into your heart, into your soul. That's very mysterious, that dreams sometimes are more real than your so-called real life. But some dreams are like this. Normally dreams are just dreams, just confusion. But some dreams are more real than your ordinary life. Because you don't believe it, you are too identified with your suffering mind. And then the dreams can give you great insights into reality, into hope, into bliss, into truth. you did not understand it at all, no, because it has nothing to do with the mind. But who cares if you don't understand it when you feel it? And not only feel it, but you experience the bliss of it, the joy of it, the love of it. Then who cares if you understand? That's what you have to trust. Thank you, Babaji. Thank you for appearing in my dreams. Please, please keep doing so. Love always, you know. What is nice with the dreams, it takes you out of your ordinary life. What before was so mysterious and invisible has now become very clear and known. I have tasted it. Just as the goldsmith verifies gold by rubbing it on a stone, so has my heart confirmed this love. So has my heart confirmed this love. Know, when you know, you know. Before it was just a dream, but now you have confirmed it. When you have tasted it, when you have realized it, then it's there then. It will never go, just as a goldsmith verifies gold by rubbing it on a stone. Is it real gold? Yes, he said, it's real gold. Then he's satisfied. So has my heart confirmed this love. In the beginning, this love was just a dream. No, it has become reality. I try to achieve this in so many ways, but only when I turned inward, when I came home, and I became focused, did the invisible become clearly into view. I have wasted so many years, so many lives, looking outside. But it was only when I met my master. He showed me that it was within. Without knowing this, life was like darkness, confusion. Kabir recognized, and life has become a lightness of being. From darkness to light. Aum Shanti. Trust more and more the light. Turn your back to the darkness. Trust more and more your heart. Turn your back to the mind. Be steady.
Good.